unmuted.
I heard there's people out there other than the community voice. Last time we did not have anybody from Board of Education or the town.
Didn't we truly out of lame duck, I guess?
Well, this is the bonus meeting, so
yeah. Well, you're looking at basically the next finance committee anyways, right?
Well,
unless Rodney is.
Well, you go on, and if Mather does, then you're looking at a good chunk of it. Except for Charlie, who was smart enough to quit.
Get out while you're ahead.
I can't stand the stress. Next couple of years, I'm going to bring you guys. Yeah.
Okay, so we are 40 seconds away from getting started.
All right, well, make it a minute 40.
Read fast. It'll be a very brief meeting if we don't have anybody from the town to report.
We
had
Jill last meeting.
Well, Jill was here, but I'm saying
we
didn't have the select, any of the select, the town administrator or the Board of Education officially represented.
Yeah.
So let's see. I'm here. Charlie's here. Amanda. Mather. I don't see Ashley. I haven't heard from her. And I haven't heard from Kristen. Either. So we'll see who shows up. As far as I know, Jill was planning to attend since she's the one who put the agenda together.
We have no idea when this is on.
All right, it is.
And I finished.
Good timing. It is 7:15. I'm going to call our meeting of the. Says Finance Commission, but it's Board of Finance still, to order at 7:15. And I will just, for the sake of the person taking our notes, note that Mather, Ross, Amanda, Bob, and Charlie are here as members of the Board of Finance. At the moment, we do not have representation from the Board of Selectmen or from the Board of Education, but we will get started. So I'm going to continue on to public participation.
Excuse me, do we consider that a snub?
We might.
I'm not.
I'm going to as well, because this is 2 months in a row and it'll be on the record that they did not feel it was important enough to be here.
Right.
There you go. So whatever came up, I don't know if the other party was better than this one, but whatever. Let's move on to public participation, which is number two on the agenda. I am looking online. I do not see any public in Zoom. Let me just change the view and make sure. Nope, I think this is it. And so then we will don't have anybody in person for public participation. So I will move on to approval of the minutes, and the only minutes that we have on the agenda for approval are those for the Board of Finance's October 19th regular meeting.
Can I interrupt?
Yes, Charlie.
On the public participation, as a citizen, could I bring up the discussion I was talking about, the motor vehicle situation and how it might affect our finances in the upcoming year?
So why don't we back up then? Because we had a request for Charlie to speak as the from his point of view of the public. So
yeah, I was in Assessors Association meeting this morning that brought up the something I thought was interesting to the town and should be noted in that statewide, due to the current laws that are available with the registrations of motor vehicles, the assessments, and the taxes on motor vehicles, we are seeing, because of the structure of the assessment and the renewal of registration cycle that are out there, that all motor vehicles, or across the state of Connecticut, the motor vehicle collection rates, taxes for the motor vehicles, is off by 5%. Approximately. And then when I look at the town records that are reported to us, I see that the town is reflecting that just as well. What that could mean to us is if they don't pay their taxes this year, our collection rate could be off 5%. And while we're sitting at 98 point whatever percent collection
now,
and we haven't gotten to the supplemental list yet, which could put us over the 100%, the fact of the matter is that we're still not collecting what we should be collecting. And if they continue to change the laws, if it looks like the state is looking at changing the laws even more this year, it could affect us fiscally, among other things, in the remainder of 24 and in the future years.
So this one, I think we also talked, this was a kind of an unintended consequence of the states changing how long you have to go to register your car. Yeah. And it's had what probably saved them some administrative made them some administrative savings at DMV. But by the same token, then people say, oh, well, I don't have to register my car. They'll take a risk of getting stopped and I don't pay taxes.
Yeah.
So that's like probably an unintended consequence of this, which explains why the tax rates are down.
3 or 5 years.
Actually,
in between registration.
Depending upon what situation you are, I have 6 years.
And I do too.
And so I'm looking at it as if I don't pay my car taxes for 6 years.
That's crazy. As long as I don't
have my car will be registered. Days. Actually, even if I get stopped, it technically won't affect my registration. Although the fact of the matter is that the law does say that the tax collector will go after you once you reach a certain point in the tax liability situation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's normally 3 years.
And to renew, you think you would then have to become current. You'd have to pay the back taxes in order to renew
color, so or more value to stay.
Right.
Or perhaps
sell the car. How would that work?
That
there was a lien
that would be able to sell. A whole different question of what happens with the sale of vehicles and the recording of new vehicles that you get on. There's credits being applied and there's taxes and the bills are all adjusted for all of them. And you can only go back so many years for that.
And often when they change the laws like that, they leave inconsistencies in because they don't go to rationalize the past with the present. So thank you, Charlie. And
just be aware we should see some shortcomings and complications that are way beyond the town of Bolton.
All right, so what could that mean dollar-wise?
Well, if we're collecting,
why don't we bring it back to when we actually get to that part of the budget? Because I think it'll make more sense. We can continue that discussion because then we'll actually be looking at that. Even if Jill is not here, I think I want to note this. And when we do talk about the taxes, came up as public comment. Now let's take a look at it when we actually are looking through this along with any other questions. Okay with that? Then let's go on to item number 3 on the approval of minute, which is approval of minutes for our October 19th regular meeting.
Motion to approve.
Second.
So motion was made by Bob, seconded by Amanda. Discussion?
We do our wording here.
Yeah.
That's in the fact that it's ensuring not insured.
Yeah.
Sure it too.
Now, any questions, comments? And hearing none, I will ask for a vote. All those in favor of approving the minutes for October 19th signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, abstentions. So that was passed unanimously by all of the board members present. So let us move on then to elected official and town staff reports. So I think the first thing on there, again, we do not have representation from the town to go over this, and Jill is not here at the moment. So I think then Bob, you had some questions that related to motor vehicle taxes based on Charlie's observations earlier under public participation.
Yeah, I did, and now it was a good idea this week. But anyway, if you look at the total of the adopted budget for motor vehicle and supplemental together, you think just about $2 million total. So 10% of that would be $200,000. 5% would be $100,000. So our conceivable liability there might be $100,000. I'm not too sure that we always collect 100% on that. I don't think we do.
You on motor vehicles?
Right.
You're right. And it may end up being 98% or more because she's been collecting so much in back taxes. But it's going to affect everything.
That's sort of like a windfall if you're doing that.
Yeah.
So we're currently at 95% of what percent? What percent did we budget for? I don't remember.
The 1787.
No, the percentage collected is the percentage of budget, and we budgeted for less than 100%. So it's 95% of, did we do
95? That's right, we're doing
98.
I think it's 98,
yes.
Yeah. So it's more like 92%.
So there might be a 2 or 3%
around 100,000
difference.
Yeah, it could be around 100,000. You know, of course, all those arguments that you've made, kind of move them to inaction.
Them being
the legislature, because as Amanda had mentioned, there's plenty of people over there saying you can't do this unless you make the towns whole. But
they're going to be required to do something because everybody's unhappy with the current law. The inequity of the 32 mil rate for towns over 32 mil,
yes,
and the fact that you get probably the wealthier communities that have a mill rate that's below 32 pay that lower rate. You know, deals with inequities. And that was the purpose of the change in the law. So the application is going to have to change is what they're proposing to do and make is and how are they going to apply it? And what one of the changes is that they were going to have the Department of Motor Vehicles apply a manufacturer's standard valuation for a particular year, make, and model.
Yeah.
And then the tax would be based on that at the 32 mil for everybody, which would be great, except that isn't necessarily the answer that the wealthy towns want, perhaps.
Sure.
Or the urban towns.
Because this is really... It benefited the wealthy more than it benefited the people who were poor. So it's really not it's a regressive tax the way they're doing it. It's not really fair. Because a lot of the complaints were, well, I have my Mercedes, I get charged $1 million on it in this town. But if I go over there, it's only going to be like $500,000 in taxes. Well, same thing with the houses, you know.
Right.
It's just you can move you can't move the house, but you can move your car. So I can see why they got. I just was not happy with it when they implemented it, and I'm sure that.
And when you look at the cities, you see the disparity.
And it should be pointed out that as part of that law change and why it's going to change, is that trucks and commercial vehicles are no longer going to be assessed as motor vehicles in the community. They're going to be assessed as personal property, and that way it'll change completely how they're going to be valued. And it could affect what company is going to report that they have 35 trucks in a town where they could maybe only say that they have 5. And that's probably, the incidence of inaccuracy happens greater when it's voluntary as part of a personal property declaration.
Yeah. So there's going to be no reconciliation between the personal property that's submitted and the DMV registrations.
Well, the thing that'll be nice about it is that they'll be able to be taxed at, if it is a higher mill rate, the higher mill rate.
Yeah.
But then again, you've got to capture the fact that the vehicle's there and what it is and what value that is.
And depending on how they implement it, it could be like people register their boats in other states.
Yeah. Or you take like my mindset immediately goes to trailers. Yeah. Tractor truck trailers are all registered in Maine or South Carolina or Mississippi, but they're not registered in Connecticut because they don't have to.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. But they principally, they have a plate on it that says Maine, but they come from a distribution center across the street.
Mm-hmm.
And there's further complication with that because sometimes the trucks, there's a matter of convenience. You drive it from point A to point B, you leave it at point B till you can reload it, and the truck has no real permanent home, so to speak, in Connecticut. It can go to another state, get filled up there, go to another location. So it's not quite the same as with cars or other, you know, vehicles.
There's a lot of things that can go on with that. But the fact is that it's going to be handled as personal rather than registered motor vehicles. It's going to be a lot harder to ascertain what that is and what the values are.
So
you may see a great depreciation.
So just for the benefit of our clerk who is taking these notes, this is about potential rent implications to Bolton because of state tax policy, and that the next board needs to be aware of this because we're not going to solve it here tonight. This is something to take up with our representatives and senators.
Yep.
But it is something that we as a board in the future will need to be cognizant of because things can change.
And it could be something minor like $100,000 out of our budget, which I don't consider minor.
Right,
okay.
So I'll ask if there's any other items on the tax collection summary that we want to bring up either to ask at a future meeting or whatever, so we can keep moving along with our agenda. No other questions on this text, then let's move on to the town update. And if anybody has any questions on the information provided by the town, I will just bring up one question that I have for the town administrator and also for Jill about the disposition of our fire truck that the Board of Selectmen, I believe, if I'm recalling correctly, decided to donate to the Connecticut Fire Academy in return for $5,000 worth of training for our, you know, town firefighters, the volunteers.
Six thousand.
Okay, 6,000. I stand corrected.
Counter.
And again, nothing. Not the actual idea of that kind of a, you know, trade does not bother me. It's just it's different from what I believe that we had explain to us
and believe what happened.
And you know, with the truck, which was a new engine, was installed, if I recall, for $30,000, and the understanding was that this was a good deal and we could recoup that money with the sale of the truck, if I recall correctly. So there's a difference from what we discussed here and what occurred, and may not be a bad thing. It's just it's a difference is what I'm asking, and I'd like to understand more.
It may have been also that they were saying to us that the $30,000 cost allowed them to keep the fire truck until the new one was available.
Correct.
And that to rent one would have cost more.
Yeah.
So that may have been part of the circumstances.
That's also part of the discussion.
Yes. And I don't know if that actually was truly what happened, because I think we got the truck faster than we expected to get it. I think it came a couple months early. I may be wrong.
I don't know if we actually have. But
yeah, it was in last fiscal year. It showed up, I believe.
Because the last thing I heard was Bruce Dixon was supposed to go out and inspect it and make sure that they were supposed to get it back. So I personally do not know whether it has arrived or not. I'm just noting the fact that what they decided.
They went out and looked at it. They had a litany of issues with it, mostly minor, that needed to be addressed before taking delivery.
Okay, so then this is just planning that the Board of Selectmen did for when the truck does arrive. This is what will happen with the old one. Okay, thank
they
you.
They did discuss it at two different meetings, and Adam did request, you know, comps, like what would we get if we tried to sell it? And they came back with a couple that were anywhere from what,
9,500 down to 5,000.
I mean, I had gone and looked at a couple. I had looked at a couple sites. I didn't know the specs on the engine. From what I was looking at, I thought perhaps we probably could get more, but especially with a $30,000 refurbished engine, but or you know that we worked on. But we've got due diligence in there. So.
Yeah, so I think it's just a good question to ask and have some further discussion on it.
I agree.
Before we move on,
yeah,
in regards to revenue and interest, about two or three meetings ago, I made a comment when we had gotten a better deal from the bank in regards to the interest that they were going to pay us on our cash balances that were being held with them. And it was kind of convoluted. Thing, and I never even saw the document, nor did I actually get the exact percentages, etc. But I did take a guess at what it meant, because it was going to be the amount of interest that we would get would be based on a declining balance month after month. And so I made some quick estimates on that, and about it would decrease at about $2 million a month. And suggested in that meeting that this could mean upwards of a total of around $300,000 to the town. Jim Rupert made an observation, and I have no idea what motivated it or what it meant, but he made an observation that somebody write that number down. And well, I hope the hell they did. Because when you look at these numbers, by the
way. So when you say these numbers, could you be specific, because we're being...
When you look at the number on interest on other town revenue, we already are at $207,000. And you need to understand, I'm sure you do, that this is the interest that received on a monthly basis is based on a declining balance month after month.
Yeah.
I still estimate that, you know, this last month, I believe... the month before, I'm sorry, we had collected a whole total of $145,000. So that means this month increased by $62,000.
Yeah.
My prediction would be then, Jim, about $50,000 in this month that we're in, $40,000 and $30,000. Well, guess what? That's another $100,000.
Yeah.
We will be probably over $300,000 in interest when we were only planning on $15,000.
Yeah.
Just a note of interest for our considerations at the end of the fiscal year.
Because since they can't spend money that's not budgeted, then there should be that much given, you know, equivalent given back.
Correct. So somebody write that down.
I hope it's being recorded and we show up in a minute. So we'll have to go over that because I'm noting it and we will see. Any other questions or comments to be passed on? Since again, we do not have representation here. And no, I'm not going to reboot the computer now for the updates. So. Let's ignore that. Any other questions, town update? If not, then why don't we move on to your Board of Education update again, Bob? I believe you had an observation.
I do. I'd just like to spend a moment just recapping what happened at the end of this last budget cycle as we were looking to finalize a budget moving forward. I think most in particular in regards to the Board of Education budget, I was looking for a reduction.
Yes.
This board seemed hell-bent on not only not having a reduction in the request, but making sure that it was fully granted, every dollar.
Now, when you say this board, you mean the Board
of Finance.
Finance, okay. Just wanted to make sure, which is fine, just clarifying.
Right. And so what we did is, you know, a motion came out to
approve the requests as they were, along with a concomitant increase in taxes, which, in my opinion, I think, in my memory, came out to be almost a full mill this past year, driven in large part by those requests that were not reduced. When, and I, as I've mentioned this board on other occasions, when I look at the Board of Education budget, which I followed very finitely for the last many, many years, I hate to think how many it is, and looking at the year-to-date expenditures, it's on their third page, I think, I guess, as of 10/31, and I look at the salaries and wages and personnel benefits line and line, the subtotal between the two of them is $2.5 million expended through 10/31. The approved budget provides an addition, in addition to the expenditures that were there, or net of those expenditures, says there's another $10,200,000 set aside in the budget for salaries and wages,
yeah,
and personal benefits. Mm-hmm. Calculations that I've done in the past, which I think still will hold true, although I don't see here, I'm not exactly pleased about, is that there's nothing that shows exactly what they spent in the month of November. In the month of October.
Where November they haven't spent yet.
Yeah, so. I'm sorry, I correct myself, and thank you for the additional ones. Where is it? Why is it not here?
You want to see monthly expenses? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, for the previous month. We it seems to me we've always had that. Or I've been able to back into it, and I didn't really have time. Like,
so which page are you looking at?
I'm looking at the one that says, it's page 3 of the Board of Education's approved budget. Let me that one more.
The FY24 yes, page 3. One.
It's page 3. Yeah. And there's like, and in that on page 3, one of the subtitles there is salaries, wages, and employee benefits. That's what I was looking at when I continued. Yeah. So we have a revised budget of $12,709,000, and we spent $2.5 million. That leaves $10.2 million for the final, for the last 8 months of the year. Will you follow me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So $10.2 million. An analysis of looking at what they spend on a monthly basis on average for wages and benefits is less than $1 million a month. We have 8 months left,
yeah,
in this year. Yields a total cost for those two lines of $8 million.
So
I mean, they show that in a percentage, right? We're 25% through the year, but we're only 19%.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And thank you, right? Lydia. But those are meaningless, because by the time these people get to the end of the year, they're still projecting they're going to spend every dollar in their budget,
which is,
and when I suggest that to you, to this committee, is
saying the burn rate does not align with the statement that they're going to spend it all by the end of the year.
A lot, you know, it doesn't explain the difference. That's the problem.
It never does. And
it never does.
So, you know, what I've done is just in order to try to, you know, maintain some sort of level of credibility for that board and however they prepare these statements with, I think it was basically disingenuous. I'm showing $10.2 million with $8 million to come, even if I'm off by a million.
No.
That's nine. That's $1.2 million of unspent funds,
yeah,
coming up
down.
That in their defense, I understand that they're operating, that Board of Education is operating without a full teacher.
Yes.
Lots of chemistry teachers.
And as part of that, they also, the benefits are affected, which are the two major things out of the, yeah. that budget that they have for salaries and benefits. So I could see where that is really unstable, but that's the same excuse they've used all along for not providing the detail.
There's yeah. always turnover. You've got 130 people.
So they're not building a vacancy rate into their numbers, yeah. is what you're ultimately.
Which is what I've been saying for years right. they can do. And, you know, a normal vacancy, they can calculate their own, is 5 to 7%. If they're even lower than like 3%, then you could. It's just
so math. You're basically saying we have, just for the sake of explaining it for the clerk, is that basically they have, let's say, 100 positions, and you just know, this is again hypothetical number, not a real number, and you know for a fact that just with normal turnover, even though you have 100 positions open and available, you never have them all filled at the same moment. So why then are we staffing to the fully, you know, fully seated staffing as opposed to the numbers that are actually there, which is lower? Is that correct?
It's 100%, always.
And I will look at it from the point of view of the school and having to do budgets myself, is that when I do a budget like this, if I cut that and say, I'm not going to need that much money because I'm not going to be able to fill all these seats, but I want to, then I get them taken. So you have to also look at it from that point of view, because I think they legitimately do want to have those, you know, positions all filled, but it just doesn't happen.
Right, it's not reality.
If it doesn't happen, why can't it be turned back into the next following year's budget?
Or decreasing, and what I'm saying is decreasing the amount of money request.
Well,
it would be the same thing as turning it back where you hadn't have a lower budget for the next year.
Okay. Then you also have to look at it two ways, because the Board of Education is under different rules from the town, is that yes, they give that $1 million back, which is being a good corporate citizen, but it's also raised the floor of their budget by that amount.
Yes.
And that happens every year. So it's a different situation than with the Board of Selectmen, where their budget is not arbitrarily set for starters at the previous year's level.
Yeah, they do have to, isn't there something that's been said about their having to spend so much by state mandate?
Yes, this is state mandate that I'm talking about. Their budget cannot be reduced before last year's unless there's, I forget, a certain percentage drop in student body.
Right.
And that hasn't happened here if that trigger hasn't been, tripped. So it's basically you started last year's budget. Even if they go a zero-based budget and you came out lower and the Board of Education really wanted to come out lower, they can't. They're trapped in it, you know, too. They have to do to the budget.
Well, we've been led down the road here, is my point.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm just saying it's like different rules, and they have different, you know, different consequences with the Board of Education than you do with the selectmen.
To be some vehicle that allows us to be able to recoup that difference and use it towards their next budget, perhaps at that same level, without the town having to increase everything because of other reasons.
Yeah.
By the way, I also say that, you know, in thinking back here, the averages that I worked out in my head to look about 5 years of these reports was actually not $1 million a month.
Chill.
It was more like $891,000.
Yeah.
So there's slop even in that number.
Oh.
Okay. So I think $1.2 million, barring transfers of, huge transfers, it's going to be a surplus of over $1 million.
And I would,
and you know, the town side, I think, also went up as a consequence of us having a higher mill rate.
Yeah.
So, you know, last year I was predicting that the Board of Education would have a $450,000 surplus.
And that was in like March and April, and people go, well, where are you coming up with that?
Yeah.
Well, that's what it ended up being.
And you weren't at the three board meeting. We actually got a handout at the three board meeting about the potential give backs that they, or like the money left over that they expected to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And?
Could you state the amount for the record since people can't see the screen?
We're looking at the supplemental packet that was part of the three board meeting on November 1st or 2nd.
Six. I thought we're going with the exact date.
It shows a possible surplus of
$122,000.
Is that what I'm reading?
I think it's $370,000 for the Board of Ed.
Oh, wait a second. We'll get down here. Town proper. 578, 572. Board of Ed. Return of 370. And yeah, I mean, getting back to, you know, just to labor this a minute, you know, part of our deliberations on this budget that we're now have had to do with the fact that the Board of Education was so close to going under, they couldn't contribute a dollar toward the next, budget. Not a buck. And they end up with about $450,000 of unspent cash. And this, they were predicting at the end of April and at the end of May. Whose numbers are these?
Well, then also in fairness to them, they do have a cushion built into their budget to handle special education, which they have no control over as to who comes into town and what services they need.
But the Board of Education has always been assured by the Board of Finance, now the committee, that if they had a shortfall in special education, we were not requiring them to take it out of the monies available for the rest of the school population, that the Board of Finance would take it up as a special matter and approve it. So that's not something they can waive.
I'm just saying,
yeah, what's here
on it's the table.
Yeah, so. It's a variable, it's been addressed over history. And
again, part of why I want to have this discussion and bring all these points out is because we have a new board and I want this, you know, on the record, whatever it is, so that it gets passed forward.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to get that stuff off my chest.
No, I'm not saying that you shouldn't bring it up. I'm just saying, I think these are good topics to bring up, and it's a good conversation to have. It's not always an easy one, but we need to have it on the record for the next, you know, committee that comes along.
Like I say, please write it down.
And perhaps, like, the new structure of the new finance committee will lend some clarity, because we'll have members of the Board of Ed at the table at every meeting, same with the Board of Selectmen. So
we have numbers of every month now.
We have administrators, right? We don't have elected officials. We have administrators. And so hopefully it will bring a slightly different perspective, because we as elected officials are elected to hold the administrators accountable, right? So I think that all of the members have that, you know, and make sure, obviously, other things, among other things, make sure the town runs well.
Yes.
But
the implication for the end of this year is enormous.
Yeah.
The unspent cash.
Well, it's,
I mean, between the town side, which you showed me this one, that they think it's going to be $455,000. If I'm correct, believe me, I believe I am, we're talking about at least 1.1, maybe 1.2 from the Board of Education, given unless there's huge expenditure somewhere unplanned. That's 1.7. We're going to have $300,000 in unplanned revenue on interest. That's $4 million. And then whatever increase in our grant list is, we're looking at about $2 million plus.
Well, let's note it as a prediction, and let's see how it plays out.
Write it down.
No, seriously, let's see how it plays out. And it is something for a discussion, because I am imagining that it will be particularly contentious around budget time.
Yeah, I'm pretty wound up tonight. When next year. It's like,
a small step back, but I don't think we drew attention directly to the town expenses.
Okay.
We were looking at revenue, and I just wanted.
So, where do you want to go back to town update?
Yes, please.
Under 4B.
Correct. Just, you know, my question, I guess.
Just go. Yeah.
the FY24 October 31st expenses for the town. Just, you know, I guess my question would be looking at our past expenditure rates as of today's date, right? We are at almost 33% expense, whereas in past years we've been at 19, 26, and 24. So is that something we should be concerned about? Because we seem to be spending at a faster rate than we have historically, and then we are currently at 25% of the year, so you would expect to be close to 25% expensed. Because the only thing that I'm seeing, you know, and it looks to be
this is July through October, correct?
Right, July, August, mm-hmm. September, October, 25% of the year.
July, August, September, October, it's one third of the year, 4 months.
Yeah, mm-hmm. One third of the year. Yeah.
33, August. One third.
Four.
Yeah, you said
a third. Okay, all right, I lied. Thank you for.
So if it's a third and a third, then it's close to.
Okay, so we're about where we should be, but we are ahead of past years,
yeah.
Over yes. past years. And but is that something we should be concerned about, and what is causing that, I guess, would be mine.
I think it's a point of curiosity,
right,
at this point, and you know, the curiosity of, is this a good thing, a bad thing, or just a thing?
It
could just be timing, where they have certain expenses right. this year that are different,
right?
And again, without Joe here or the town administrator to explain it, it's hard. Right. We can just ask the question.
Exactly.
Yeah, once again, you can kind of look at, you know, your expense to date mm-hmm. column
yeah.
right next to the revised budget there of $1.77 million with a balance of just about $5 million. So if you just double that 1.7, you're looking at 3.54. Left over.
Okay.
I'm jumping around a bit here.
So which item are we talking about?
Now I'm looking at
our clerk who was trying to try to put this all together for
yeah,
us.
Yeah, clerk has got to go nuts. We're looking at the expenses, and we're looking at what could be overages, potential for
and again,
overages the because
town
of
town or
the town board and of
education board, or the board of that.
Well, the that's town correct. And the board yeah. for the way the budget seems to be working, and hoping that we won't have catastrophic problems.
Yeah,
there'll be a surplus next year that allows the town to be able to lower the mill rate.
Well, we're also having the reeval too, no?
But I was just being, we're also going through a revaluation.
Right.
So the mill rate is going down no matter what.
Right.
The question is, where is it going to go, and how is it going to affect the budget process?
How will it affect the budget process, and how much, just because the mill rate goes down does not mean you pay less in taxes.
Right.
Because
the town needs a certain amount of money to do business. And they're going to get that one, you know, the town, you know, collectively, including selectmen and board of education, you need a certain amount to do business, and mill rate's just one of those tools for
getting. And how the mill rate's going to be arrived at. So that's going to make interesting for the budget process next year, because of that's another factor going into this, because the revaluation will be completed by March.
So that will be input into the whole discussion.
Thanks for that.
You're going to be looking at
the new thing.
Towns people being concerned about where the budget's going because of the fact that you've got a revaluation on top of everything else.
Yeah. So you've got the rate changing things out, you know, get in the background. You have the revaluation going in. We have changes in interest rates, staffing, and all that other good stuff. So a lot of moving pieces.
Exactly. And I think with the new commission, just my own thought process, we're going to see that you are going to have more details to work with. That's my understanding of how it's going to be.
That's the intent.
Because we're eliminating the Board of Finance meeting after the budgets have been set. We're going to be in the creation of the budgets of the selectmen and the Board of Education. And that's where you're going to be able to see the detail and where things are working out, to be able to control perhaps a little bit better some of these suggestions that we're hearing tonight about how we should be budgeting, whether we budget more for interest or less for interest still, or whether we budget more for cost of employees or less because of the fact that we've got so many vacancies?
It's going to be interesting just because it's a different way of doing things.
Exactly.
Where we, you know, Board of Finance could just say, no, the budget's not going to be that high. And we're, you know, and Group A is cutting this much. Group B is, I don't believe that's the way it's going to work ahead. It's purely going to be on who votes, how many people vote in favor, and how many people vote against among a group of Board of Education, Board of Selectmen, and general at-large members. So it's going to be a very interesting difference. And as you brought up the point, Amanda, too, there's going to be a little bit different because you're going to have people who have a direct constituency they're responsible to participating in these. This is what we do too, but you'll have this, you know, direct, you know, representation from Board of Selectmen and Board of Education in the process. Yes.
And like I said, I did vote for that initial proposal on the budget, fully believing, by the way, had it never stood a snowball's chance in hell. I was amazed when it got approved. I lay part of that explanation on the proposal from the suggestion from the Board of Education that if we cut a dollar from their budget, it could jeopardize all the extracurricular activities of the school.
So I would like to just be going back to the same comments because they're on the record and I want to move the meeting along. So I agree with you, you know, with the comment. I just want to move the meeting along because we've already all said the same thing several times. And if we go over an hour, we have to pay our clerk substantially more. I want to get home. I'm doing my own fiscal management here.
I'm done screaming.
No, I understand what you're saying. I just want to move it along. So any other things under the elected official and town staff, of course, because it's mostly just questions for the folks, you know, who were not here. So under 5, let's go to ongoing business. This was, again, on the memo to the future finance committee. I didn't turn it in to them because I found out that was our last meeting. I have no proposed changes, so we, you know, or any other action on that. I was happy with what we arrived at. Amanda gave me a copy of it. And if we haven't changed our opinions on it, I will forward it to Jim Rupert after this.
Bob, you weren't there. Did you want to look at it?
I'm sorry, I didn't realize this was here.
I don't know is it in here?
I don't think it's in there. You did send it out to everybody.
I sent it to you, but I didn't send it.
Well,
I wouldn't mind looking at it. So if you wouldn't mind sending it, I have a thing for you to do, but.
Well, there was the draft that was included with that meeting.
Yes.
Right.
And then we discussed it. So the discussion would be in the minutes. And you'd have to interpolate what the changes were from that. And Amanda, you did just send it to me, to your point, because we'd agreed on the wording. So. Mm-hmm. Are you going to show Bob on the screen or are you not doing anything?
I'm not. I was going to email it.
Okay.
But I'm not on the meeting. Throw it up on the screen, but it is in the minutes if people want to see it, because I was sharing the screen during the minute.
Okay, that's what I thought. So if there is no, I have nothing to change. I don't know if anybody else has any comments like Charlie or Matt.
I don't know if anything came up on the pre-board meeting that would have changed. I think it was pretty much consensus on a lot of that stuff.
Because we brought it up and talked about it at the pre-board meeting, as well as things that we wanted the future finance committee to consider. So in that case, then let's move on to new business, which is the draft of our 2024 meeting calendar. And I'm just going to look at January 18th. Well, now, because MLK is not near that because that's Monday. March, April, May, that's nowhere near Memorial Day. June 20th is nowhere near July. They're not having, again, no meetings in August. And July and August is no meetings in July and August is proposed. When I tried to do them this summer, nobody, no, I shouldn't say nobody came. I got Amanda at one meeting and Kristen and Corley.
Sorry about that.
Oh, well, you sound like you had a good excuse at any rate. So anyway, we got the intended agenda done anyway, which was just basically that draft of that letter. And I'm looking at September 19th. My birthday's the next day, so I don't know about that one. We'll see. And when's Thanksgiving next year? 21st is, the other two I was looking at, this is like the November 21st and December 19th. Are they too close to the holidays?
Next, isn't Thanksgiving next year on the 27th?
I'm going to look. Let me go and look. Thanksgiving's the 28th, so it's the week before, so that's fine. And December 19th is 6 days before Christmas, or 5 days before Christmas Eve. So I'm picking.
And we're only doing a proposal that the board, the commission may follow.
Their main benefit that they're getting out of this is they don't have to do a special meeting in January. They can go on the 18th without having to set up a special meeting.
Is there going to be a meeting in December for this point?
There's no idea. It's up to the selectmen.
Okay. And we probably need
selectmen and the Board of Education. So I would hope they will have one.
The
Board of Selectmen and the Board of Education. And what's the quorum? It's still the same of three, isn't it? For here?
Four.
Well, that's right.
Didn't we set up last year's for December? I mean, this.
So there's a schedule out
there. There's a scheduled meeting, but they have to get together and pick representatives. You know,
right.
The selectmen have to pick their first meeting is what?
December 5th. The real meeting. We have an 18 meeting.
Yeah. And so I don't know when the Board of Ed meets, but, you know, they'll have to meet beforehand, pick out who's going to be there, and then somebody's going to have to, you know, say, that, yeah, we got this all done, and we can have a meeting with a quorum.
Oh, that's interesting.
Either that or somebody will just have to cancel the meeting and do it with enough time. So does any questions or comments on this, Jen? Then I will entertain a motion to approve the proposed meeting schedule for the Finance Committee for the calendar year 2024.
Final action, I propose that we accept this recommended schedule.
So the motion was made by Charlie. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Mather seconded.
Thanks.
Further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So opposed? Abstentions? It's unanimous by those members of the Board of Finance who are present. Our last meeting. So then it says on here it's time for adjournment. Our next meeting is December 21st. So hopefully between now and someday before that, we will have a new finance committee put together. I mean, we do for the members that were at large for the town. It's a matter of the Board of Selecting the Board of Ed being there. Designees to attend. So I will entertain a motion for adjournment.
I would make such motion to adjourn.
Motion made by Charlie. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Third.
Second by Mather. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We're going to adjourn unanimously. It was like last act. A last class
under
time allowed.